Where brothers, sisters dwell together in unity, it says God commands a blessing. We have been encouraged by the heart of generosity here at Grace and the willingness to journey. And if you understand that word journey, that means we start somewhere and we want to end up somewhere. But there's a process, isn't there? There's a journeying. And I've been encouraged that we've had that willingness here in church to journey one with another. We have elders and leaders and trustees that help guide and protect us. And they're important parts of church. And so often we can say, well, why do we need leaders? Well, leaders to lead. You know, when we look through scripture, there's always somebody that God is speaking to say, lead my people. And it's not a bad word, it's actually a good word. And I want to encourage us as church to see ourselves as leaders, to see ourselves in the home, in the workplace, that we are leading someone else. The first message I ever preached was in a disco that we put on for teenagers and young people that were walking the street to King's Lynn, and I brought a message, and part of that message I said this: and as Christ stretched out his hands, he became a bridge so that people could be led across that bridge to salvation. And that's who we are. We're co-workers in his vineyard. We're those that are there to show grace. We have all the above are statements made without using the word church. We have elders and we have leaders and we have trustees and we've been encouraged. And I haven't used the word church at all. Church is a word that means different things to different people. To some people, it's a building. When you talk about a church, they automatically, in the UK especially, think about a building with a steeple with stained glass windows. To them, that's what the church is. To some people, it's an organization. It's something that's there to control the masses. To other people, it's a disappointment. And that's the truth of it, isn't it? When you speak to some people about church, to some it's a building, to some it's an organization, to some it's a disappointment. Church, I believe, has got a bad press over the years. And that bad press so often comes from his body, from us. Not necessarily you or me, but us, his people. And I find that sad. Church should be a place where we can build community together, yes? It should be a place where we can be honest. When I was not well a week or so ago, I realized that I preach something and I don't live it. I'll explain. I'm always saying to people, if you need any help, call me. And I'm the last person to call for help when I need it. And I guess that could be a bit of pride. It could be part of my background. It could be the fact that I find it easy to do it myself, because if I do it myself, I haven't got to worry about someone else doing it a different way. Does that make sense? But there are times in our life when we talk about church and we talk about community that it's a gathering of people together to help one another, to serve one another. But the thing is, for me, and I hope for you, we need to get to that point where we can say, I need help. If not, you could end up in hospital the way I did. I didn't think I suffered with stress. I didn't think I suffered with low self-esteem. I didn't think I suffered with some of the things that was highlighted to me. But evidently I do. And it came to a point where it could have been more serious than it was. So thank you for your prayers and your concerns. But that's what church is. Today, I want to talk about church. In Ephesians 5:25, and I'm not going to put them on the overhead because I don't want to fiddle around with the cables this morning. So just trust that this is God's word. If you have a Bible or a tablet or an iPhone and you want to check them out, then please do so. If not, ask me afterwards and I'll let you know what these scriptures are. These are coming from his word. It says in Ephesians 5:25, it says, Christ loved his church and gave himself up for her. Christ loved his church and gave himself up for her. See, God so loved the world, didn't he, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would have life and life in all its fullness. And that's what we preach, life in all its fullness. That means the good, the bad, and the not so good, the ugly, doesn't it? While I think about it, someone asked me today what the poppy represented. And I said it was a symbol of remembrance. You know, the poppy being red, symbolizing blood that's been shed over the generations on our behalf, so that we can have freedom. And as we come to the Lord's table, it's a representation, isn't it? The body and the blood shed for us. And so often when we look at things in the natural world, they can mirror things that happen in the spiritual, or vice versa. So today, I want us just to focus in on church. What does it mean to you? Is it a building? Is it an organization? Is it a disappointment? Or is it God's body, his blood, his plans, his purposes? So I want to encourage you today. I want to say we haven't got it right, but we know a God that will lead us, guide us, direct us. If we will listen, he will speak. Church, I'm no good at Greek speaking and the rest of it. Ecclesia, and simply means called out ones, a company, an assembly, or in our case, a mob. These are all the words that the scripture uses to depict the word church. It could be an assembly, a company of people, or a mob. Now, when we think about a mob, we think of a mob that's rushing to tear something down, don't we? For us, an assembly of people called out of this world through salvation in Christ, called together, to gather together to worship and to serve him and other believers. Church. Acts 19:30 is a scripture that I want to read. It says this: Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, the church, but the disciples would not let him. When there's a gathering of people, it's church. When there's a gathering of people, there may be people who believe, people who don't believe, but it's still church. It's still a gathering of people. For us, we're the called out ones who gather together on a Sunday, a Monday, and every other day in the week together in our homes. We break bread. We have fellowship. We come to church on a Sunday. This is what we call church, a gathering of God's called out ones, so that we can proclaim his goodness. So when we look at this word church, it means so many different things to so many different people. Church also means his body. Ephesians 1:22. It says this: And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him, Christ, to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So whenever we use scripture, whenever we speak, what I want you to do is be encouraged that you should seek out his truth for yourselves. It's not about listening to someone such as myself. I just have the privilege of speaking for a few moments on a Sunday. But you have the opportunity to seek God in his truth, and not just to take what we say from here, but to allow it to be digested, but weigh it up with his word. Because when we talk about church, it can mean different things to different people. So seek out the truth for yourself. But God says here that church is his body. That's his body. We hear and we read about the body being made up of different things. There being one head being Christ, yes? But there's other parts of the body. If everyone was a hand, it'd only be hands. Everyone was a nose, it'd only be noses. But we're all called to do different things at different times with different abilities. That's called church. And that's for his glory. You're part of his body. So I want to be an encouragement. As we look forward to a message on, are we inclusive? Just remember what we're saying today. This is part of the body. You're part of the body. And that's what it means to be church. We can see that the word church is used in three different ways. When I look through scripture, maybe you can think of more, but I see church made in three different ways. One way, believers in an individual way. It's me, myself, and I. It's all about me, myself, and I. Church can be used in that way. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, it says this: For I am the least of the apostles. He's talking about himself here. And I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecute the church. I persecute single people. I go out looking for men, looking for women to persecute them, is what he's saying. And that's the word church there, but it's talking about the singular. In Galatians 1:3, it says this: For you have heard of my... Can't read that word. My previous way of life in Judaism. How intently I persecuted the church. I sought people out, the church of God, and tried to destroy it. It's the same thing. It's the same word. It's about singular, me, myself, and I. The second way is the universal people. Universal people of faith in Christ, the WWCH, the Worldwide Church. It's all those that call upon God. In Matthew 16, verse 18, it says this, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." My church, the global church, the body of believers around the world that join together in harmony, serving one God, one plan, one purpose. That's his body. That's still church. So you have an individual. It's me, myself, and I. It's about my relationship. It's about what I do, what I think, how I perceive and receive from God. And then here we're talking about his universal church, his body. It's still church. So it's not just about us meeting here today as a few people believing upon his name. There's other groups of churches meeting. There's other groups of churches, large and small, around the globe. They're still church, aren't they? They're still part of his body. So when I talk about church, I want us to look at it in these three different ways. The individual responsibilities that you and I have, the corporate responsibility that we have as a global church. In Ephesians 5, verse 23, Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Christ is the head of his church. So Christ is the head of this church, that church, and the other church. So we're talking today about church. The third way is the local church, body, crowd, mob. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2 says this, "To the church of God in Corinth." It's a local-based church. He's talking about something specific here. He's not talking about an individual person. He's not talking about a worldwide church, global church. He's talking about a church in a particular place in Corinth. "To those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be a holy people." Called out ones, that's church. "Together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he's saying it's singular, it's togetherness, it's global. But this particular message that he's ministering on here, this letter is to a local church. As we go down my scriptures in 2 Corinthians 1:1, it says the same thing. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, a sent one by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the holy people throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." He's making a statement here. He's speaking to a local church. And that's what I want to focus on today, is a local church. Because when we look at our sphere of influence, we can take a newsletter such as this. There's a couple of people that have been abducted. Two Christians serving God's plan and purpose, been abducted. And we just pray that they will remain safe and that they will return home to their families. But we as the worldwide church, we can pray, can't we? But what we can't do is feed their family because we don't live near them. What we can't do is influence their town because we're not in their town. But we're part of the wider church, aren't we? So you as an individual, your church, you can make a difference. You as an individual, together with all the other individuals here, can form a body in a local church. You can make a difference. You and I, as we pray and we join hands with other believers who are praying for this particular situation, we can make a difference, can't we? That's still church. So I want to encourage you, even though we talk about me, myself, and I, church, even though we talk about the worldwide church, we also talk about the local church. And that's where we are today, the local church. In, as I said, my brain and my mouth, they struggle at the moment just keeping up. So please bear with me. In Galatians 1:1, it says this, "Paul, an apostle sent from God, not from men." Paul, an apostle sent from God, not from men, nor by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia. I want to just major on something that I find quite difficult. It says here, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, but from God. Now, when we talk about leadership within a local church, I struggle with that concept. I struggle with that label. I struggle with that whole area. But do you know what? We have to believe that we are called by God, not by men. Because if not, what we're doing is fruitless and not fruitful. Christ in me, the hope of glory. It was said in our testimony today, it's when we're weak, we become strong. Yes? I don't know about you, Sandra, but I can remember going, God, I can't do this. And it's almost as if the Spirit of the Lord would say, good, because I can through you. So we get to a point in our lives where Paul had to recognize for himself that he was a called out one. He was apostolos. He was a sent one from God. He wasn't appointed by men for men. He was appointed by God to serve his plans and purposes. Why do you persecute me? The Lord says. Who am I persecuting me? Jesus. You know, we are sent ones. You are sent ones. You have been apostolos. You have been sent. Why? You've been sent to bind up broken hearts, set captives free. So I have to believe that to be true for me and all those others that help serve in this church. We have to believe that. Not because we stand on a pedestal, but because we know that God chooses the foolish things, yeah, to confound the weak. God chooses those that aren't so that they can be. God says, if you will listen, you will hear what I have to say. So I use this portion of scripture because I believe in the local church and in the global church, there needs to be men and women who are appointed by God, not by men. By their fruits, they will be known. And that's a challenge for every leader. By their fruits, they will be known. If you want to know what a leader does, then look through the scripture when it says, and Jesus, taking off his garment, he wrapped it around himself and he bent down with a bowl and he took the disciples' feet and he started to wash. That's a definition of a leader. So when we talk about church and we talk about the local church where we have the most influence, we need to have our trust in Christ first. Our hope is built on him. He is the foundation. He is the capstone. He is the rock on which we build. Yes? Is that amen? And God chooses you to be his instruments, his body coming together. Some being the arm, some being the mouth, some being the foot. God wants to use us in the local, the individual, and the corporate, the national, the international, the global, the worldwide. It's the local church first that we have our greatest sphere of influence. And we are to build ourselves up. We're to build ourselves up. In Jude, it says this. It says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith, and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and bring you eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Serve others, snatching them from the flames. It's a ministry. It's called through scripture. It says we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. It's to reconcile man to God. So we become the bridge that people walk over in order to get to him. We become church. Individuals at times where I can make a difference. Church, where we can pray and intercede for those that are around the world that we can't touch. Church, where we can come together as a community, a body of believers in a local locality and say, what's the need, Lord? Where can we touch it? Lord, whose feet can we wash? Lord, what can we do as community, as a body of believers to make this attractive, to compel those that are lost to come in? Lord, is there a school where we can minister to children, where we can pay for their lunch, where we can minister your goodness? Lord, is there somewhere, something we can do to serve those with disabilities and complex needs where church is not accessible? Lord, what can I do? It's just me. Look around you, lift up your eyes. There's a scripture that when the man of God, his servant, was fearful, and he said, look up and look around you. There is more of them with us than there are with the others. See, when we look around, there's an angelic host. There's a history. There's a wealth of scripture that will encourage you, that will bless you to be the best you that you can be. So individually, as church, you can make a difference. Corporately, with the rest of the church family around the world, you can make a difference through your prayer life. And locally, you can make a difference. And where else can we be challenged and changed than in the local church? Where else can someone say, yeah, but what about the widows and orphans? Where they can look you in the eye and say, is that really true? where they can look at you and say, would you help me? Where they can touch and taste and feel, where you have an opportunity to serve a coffee, to put an arm around somebody, to give a word in season of correction and direction, because that's still good news, isn't it? When we bring correction, it's good news. When the Lord has said to me many times and rebuked me over certain things, that's what's made me a stronger person. Not all the good things, well done, good and faithful servant. That is so encouraging. But there's times where God says, stop. Look, listen. My ways are higher than your ways. Using that testimony we had, saying, Lord, but I feel unworthy. Have you not read where it says, when I look at you, I see my son. And in him there is no sin. So church, I want us to celebrate church. We've spoken about church over the years, but I want to bring it back to me and you, to us. We can make a difference here. We can make a difference in our locality. This is our sphere of influence. So I want us to be encouraged so that we can be encouragers. We are to listen and to understand. Matthew 15 verse 10 says this. Jesus called the crowd to him and said. So Jesus called the church to him and said, listen and understand. You see, we can hear things. When I was, many of you will know, and for those that are new into the church, I'm severely dyslexic. That's why I don't write things down, because I can't read my own writing. All the words get jumbled up. But through technology, God has been gracious, given me an app that will highlight scriptures in different colours so I see them and I can remember them. But it says this, Jesus called the crowd, the church to him and said, listen and understand. Now I spent 12 months in a theological college and this was the deal. I said, I'll pay my fees and I'll do the course, but I can't take the exam. And they agreed and allowed me to do this theological course. One of the greatest things I was taught in the whole 12 months that I was there was this. There was one of the tutors that was quite eloquent and he was easy to listen to. Some tutors are not easy to listen to. He was. And he said this. And he used this symbol. He said, when you speak and someone listens. So that was speak, that was listen. When you speak and someone listens and they understand what you have said, you have taught them something. If you speak and they don't hear, they've learned nothing. So this scripture is really important for us as a church, a local body. Jesus called the crowd, the multitudes, to himself and said, listen and understand. And he brought this parable, this story, this truth. He said, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them. So what you eat doesn't defile you. But what comes out of their mouth defiles them. So scripture says it like this. It says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So it's not the food that we put in, it's what comes out. So for us as a church, individual and local, we need to listen to what God is saying through his word and through his rhema word. When he wakes you up in the early hours of the morning, when you listen to a song, be it secular or Christian, and something sparks out. There was a song that was sung by one of the Spice Girls. And it said something like this. I lean to you like a flower leaning towards the sun. Now just think about that. Secular song sang by a secular individual. And it said this, I lean to you like a flower leaning towards the sun. And immediately I had this picture of the brightness of God's glory and me as this flower. Because when the sun shines, the flower turns its head, doesn't it? And it leans towards that light. And that's the picture I got. So God can speak to you through anything. Listen and understand. It's not what goes in, it's what comes out. So out of the overflow of the heart, let the mouth speak. So understand what God is saying through his word. We can say that in local church. You can listen to a mega speaker in a mega church from Australia and it will be awesome. But they won't be able to feed your children. They won't be able to put an arm around you. They won't be able to ring you up when you're in hospital. They won't be able to do what someone did for me and send me a card with some very generous words on them. A card, I won't tell you what it said, but it just touched my heart and melted me. They can't do that because they don't know you. But I know you and you know me. So as we listen to what God is saying, let's celebrate church. Let's celebrate the local gathering. Let's see that God can put you here for a season to make a difference in a local church, a local body. We're to listen and to understand. It's our responsibility to weigh God's word, his written word and his rhema word. You know, it's a scary place sometimes when someone comes up and says, I believe the Lord is saying. Have you heard that numerous times? I believe the Lord is saying. It takes away any guesswork. I can't do anything because God has said. There was a story of a man that went to his leader and he said, I believe God has called me to lead worship in church. And this pastor said, that's really good. Can you sing? No, but God has said. He said, well, you're really taking all the guesswork from me. So if God has said, then I guess I should let you do it. But I'm not going to because I'm waiting for God to tell me something different. So when we use those words God has said, it can be encouraging, it can also be deflating. So we need to be careful within the local church that we listen and understand what God is saying. And we can always weigh things up with the scripture. Will it encourage? Will it edify? Will it build up? That's why I want to celebrate the importance of church. Are we a church that will include everything? Everybody. Is there anyone that's not worthy of God's love? Anyone got an answer on that? If I say the answer is yes, is there anyone that disagrees with me? Is there anybody in this world that is not worthy of God's love and forgiveness? No. See, I answered the question I asked. But that's the truth, isn't it? No. But in the local church, we can be encouraged to make a difference because we have a sphere of influence. I hope this makes sense. As I said, it's our responsibility to weigh God's word up, his written and his rhema word, what he says in scripture and what he says to us in the quietness of our closet space. And the local church is a good place to wrestle with truth. To wrestle with truth. And if you take the word wrestle and look at it, it is literally to grip one another, to wrestle. To be thrown around, to take his word and to wrestle with it. The local church is a good place to do that. So often what saddens me in church life, the limited time I've been a Christian for 26-27 years, a short span of my life, when I walk with him, what has saddened me is where people week after week don't understand that they can wrestle with God's word, that they can wrestle with what's being said from the front. They can actually come and disagree if you so wish to. Why? Because it's called wrestling. It's saying, explain that to me, Pastor. And if it's truth, I'll be able to explain it. If it's not, I won't. But you need to wrestle with God's word. And I'm suggesting that the best place to do that is in the local church. Is in the local church. And so I want us to celebrate church. Whatever God's calling you to, wherever he's calling you to be, is your local church. My text for today is Acts 2, verse 42. Now, I will be finishing shortly, honestly. I only have half a page of notes left in a few scriptures. But this is really what I want to talk about, because whenever I talk to a mature Christian, they will say things like this to me: we need to get back to the Acts church. And I kind of wryly say, well, I agree. Now, what they mean, I think, by their statement is they want to see the signs, wonders and miracles. So do I. Do you? I want to see the signs, wonders and miracles. But I also understand that the widows and the orphans need to be fed. I also understand that there needs to be a teaching, there needs to be an understanding, there needs to be a devoting, there needs to be a prayer life that will weigh up on the inside with what's happening on the outside. So there needs to be a challenge and there needs to be a change. And so I know that in the local church, if we know one another, surely we'll be able to receive things that are said that we won't receive from anyone else. Why? Because we know each other. So Sarah, I want to ask you a question. If I came into church one week and I was really office, now be honest, right? I haven't set you up, have I? I haven't asked you anything. If I was to come in church one week and I was really office with you, and really upset and grouchy, would you, A, think, what a git, I'm not coming here no more, or B, are you okay, Andrew? Is there something wrong? Is it A or B?
B.
Oh, good. Why? Because she knows me. I didn't ask some of you others. No, she knows me. She'll hopefully look at me and go, Andrew usually has a coat hanger in his mouth. He's smiling. There must be something wrong. You see, so often we can take offence, can't we? No? I think we can. So often someone will say something or do something that doesn't weigh up with how we think, and we take offence. In the local church, let's build community. Let's be honest with one another and say, listen, what you said to me, I don't understand. Or there's something different about you today. Can I help? Can I pray? Can I give? Local church, I suggest, is a place that we can do that. It may not be everything that we want, because for Christians, we have a tick list. I want a 16-piece worship band. I want choir robes. I want my own building. I want a pastor that's really eloquent and tall. Well, you're not going to get all those things in this church, but what you will get, hopefully, is the truth. And the Bible says the truth will set you free. So I want to talk about church, local church. And you know, one of the blessings for a local church is this. When they come across other Christians in the community, the local community, that God has released to do something different, they can support them. God has called me to do X, Y, Z. Brilliant. Can we support you? Can we pray for you? Why? Because we're church. God has called me to build, to establish something, to have a place of refuge. Can we support you? Local church supporting local church. So I want us to celebrate what God can do in us and through us. And I'm not suggesting at all that you're a person or I'm a person that's down on the church. But I do want to suggest that there are times that we are disappointed with the church. With what we see doesn't seem to marry up with what we believe. What you say doesn't marry up with what you do. That's okay. It's called church, where we come together. Sometimes we might be like a mob. Sometimes we might be a gathering, a congregation. Sometimes we might be a crowd. In this church, what we want to do is we want to be part of the crowd so we can bring them into the community. The things we do when we sponsor villages in Uganda, we can't do what we do there here, because they're miles apart. But we can support them with our money, by visiting, and by prayer. But here in our local church, we can touch, we can taste, we can smell. We should be encouraged. We should go home from church, a gathering of God's people, and be enlarged to say, Lord, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Father, another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Susan and I sing it every day, out of tune, every day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Through bated breath sometimes. That's called local church, local body. Acts 42, it says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread. Well, we've had breaking of bread. It's the devoting to the apostles' teaching that I think sometimes we struggle with. Now, I want you to devote yourself to the apostle, Christ Jesus, to his teaching. So whatever we say from the front as his apostolos ones, his sent ones, because I have to believe that God has called me. And I don't say that in an arrogant way. And I'm saying it like this because I do feel awkward about talking about leadership. But I have to believe that I've been called. I have to believe that God has called me to speak his word, to bind up broken hearts, set captive free. I have to believe that he's anointed me with his Holy Spirit. That means he will correct me and direct me. That means that I get it wrong. That means that I walk on this earth, in this earthly body, but we have a spiritual dimension. Now, Paul was saying here, the scripture says in Acts that they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to teaching And there are times where we need to learn and understand from God's word. Lord, what are you telling me? What are you communicating to me? Can I hear it? I need to understand it and digest it. Then you've been taught something. So I hope that I can teach you something today. And if I can teach you anything, it's that God died for his church. You, me, individual, corporate, global. God died for his church. It's a good thing. His church is a good thing. We wear this to remember our fallen heroes, don't we? The men, women that have given their lives so that we can speak and speak honestly and openly. We look at this symbol of his body broken for us, his blood shed for us. Why? So that we can walk in the freedom that his spirit brings. Yes? We'll use anything in scripture that is truth to set us free. So they devoted themselves. Now, the word devoted means different things to different people. It translates through, looking through the dictionary, loyal. They devoted themselves. They were loyal, faithful, true, staunch, steadfast, consistent, committed, dedicated, devout. Can't read my own writing. Warm, steadfast, caring, devoted. It doesn't just mean they did what they were told. That's not what devoted means. It's a large amount of different aspects of living. So can we devote ourselves to his teaching, to God's word, to build ourselves up individually so that we can come together corporately as church and see his spirit moved through me and you so that you can encourage me, I can encourage you, and we can celebrate what God is doing. You are a part of this wonderful tapestry. You are a part of this jigsaw puzzle. You are a part of the picture that God has for this location for such a time as this. And this is our sphere of influence. Let's be influential. Let's use everything that we've got to bless one another and to bless those around us in our local vicinity. Whether it's Grace Community Church or a different church. Let's devote ourselves to God's word. Let's be steadfast and true. In Matthew 28, verse 26, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Jesus said, 'I'm coming back. This is where I want to meet you.' And they got there. And it said, when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything I command you.'" This is the key. Everything he commands, not what we command, but what God commands. "I am with you always." And if you look at that picture, it says this. Some people believed and some doubted. Yet God said the same thing to all of them. "All authority has been given to me, now go. Go in your frailness. Go in your strength. Go in your weakness." Where can we hear this in the local church? Where can we be encouraged in the local church? I'd like to remind us to be of an understanding of how precious church is. And can I say how precious this church is? How precious you are. How precious I am to God. We can make a difference by encouraging each other and by building ourselves up. We're always hearing, I'm always hearing unhelpful things about Christ's church, about his body globally, about his called out ones. Let's celebrate church. Individual, global, and local. Sarah, Phil, if you'd like to come back and lead us in our final worship hymn as we reflect on what God is teaching us today. Can I leave you with this scripture? It says this in John 13, verse 34. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. Think about it. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son that whoever would believe in him would have life and life in all its fullness. If you want to keep your life, you have to lose your life. Scripture says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains but a seed. But if it dies, it will produce many seeds. That's me and you. So sometimes we have to die to self in order to serve someone else. But a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. It's a command, I think, not a suggestion. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Love covers a multitude, and it's a difficult concept, isn't it? Love is something that conjures up different things for different people. But if we can get the love of God into our hearts, then we'll be able to forgive, we'll be able to forget, we'll be able to move forward, we'll be able to be released, we'll be able to be empowered, we'll be those that will be able to pray for ourselves and make a difference individually by sucking up God's word. We'll be those that will make a corporate difference worldwide, because we can pray for different circumstances and different situations, and we will make an influence in the local church. I believe local church is powerless if they don't come together as in unity. Local church are powerless if they don't realize that it's fed, drip fed by God's Spirit. It's not my will, but your will in me, Lord. I believe that we have an opportunity as a group of people, as a mob, a gathering, a crowd, as his church, to make a difference. So let's pray towards that. This church will be a light that will shine. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Sarah.